Last week we learned about the covenant with God, the blessing of God, part 7. Starting next week, we're going to start a series that is going to be the righteousness of God. So there's the blessing of God, then the righteousness of God. We're walking in the blessing of God. Okay, how to walk in this blessing. But now then we're going to go into the righteousness of God. How to be right before God. What is the platform of righteousness? Everyone talks about how to be right with God. So we have to look at what is righteousness. So I want to finish up the blessing of God. And this ties it all together tonight. Because last week we looked at covenant of God and the protection that God gives in his covenant, in his blessing. God is out there to protect us, and he will do whatever it takes to protect those who he's in covenant with. Amen? If we have a covenant with him, that's a contract that we are in with God, and we prove ourselves to him by being obedient to his word. He says, I will protect those who love me. Last week also from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 18. There is by two immutable things that cannot change, immutable things in which it's impossible for God to lie. There's two things. Those immutable things, that was what Melchizedek had in his hands when he met Abram. It was the bread and the wine. If you remember that, it's a foreshadowing of the New Testament. God is trying to bring the blessing back. Abraham was obedient unto God. Adam was disobedient. Noah was obedient. He was blessed. Now God is doing an extra layer of obedience, showing what happens. Now there's a covenant involved. He brought the tithe, and he was obedient with God with everything that he had. What that bread and that wine is a sign of the covenant with God. We're going to talk about that later tonight. Back then, Abram had no idea what was going on. He just knew that this Melchizedek came up. There was this bread and wine. He knew he meant covenant. He saw and he heard. If you guys looked at that genealogies from last week, all these men and women, when they lived, they overlapped each other. They could see. They heard stories about how God blessed them, how God took care of them, the testimonies that came from the test. He knew that there was a covenant, that God showed his covenant with Noah, that rainbow was a sign of that covenant. They said, you know what? Blessed now are you, Noah, because you were obedient unto me. Because of your obedience and because of those who listened to you, your family was now protected. Now here's a sign of that sealed with the rainbow. See, when you and I are in covenant with God, there is a blessing for that, and that part of that blessing is, inside that blessing, is he fights for us. He's out there fighting for us. He's out there protecting us. So this week, I'm going to tie everything, and I underline thing in your notes because thing means word. I'm going to tie all this, God's word, together in this blessing. Remember, the blessing of God has always been. It's always been since the beginning of time. God wants to bless his people. And what we've talked about the last 2 weeks is Melchizedek. The word said, Old Testament now, he was the king of the Most High God, and he met Abram after Abram trusted God to go out and fight for Lot. You guys remember? He took 318 people to fight thousands. In the natural, that does not make sense. I'm just telling you. Doesn't make sense. I don't know. God, what are you telling me to do again? It's a count on you and a righteousness if you listen to me. I'm going to bless you if you do this. Okay. Now, this is one of those things. Don't try to mimic something in the Bible that was specific for Abram and not for you. Got a big task today. What should I do? Nothing. Did God say that to you? No, I just want to be like Abram. You be like Abram, you listen to what God is telling you. God might tell you to do something totally different than Abram. It won't be contrary to his word, but it'll be something, how to handle a situation totally different. Hebrews 7:6. Here's Melchizedek. This man, Melchizedek, who does not belong to their ancestry, where did he come from? He collected tithes from Abraham and blessed him who received the promise. He went to war. He got the spoils. He trusted God. He received the promise. He brought everything he had. God blessed it through Melchizedek. And then he was only required to keep the 10%. So he received everything, blessed it. That's what Melchizedek was ordered to do. And Jesus, now the high priest in the New Testament, we've been going over this, and the Bible says, of whom now we are partakers of the same heavenly calling. Y'all remember this now? Jesus, who came in the same line of Melchizedek and the line of Abraham, he does the same thing, but now he became the sacrifice for us. And he has the exact same orders as Melchizedek. How do I know that? Hebrews 7:7. Hebrews 7:7. And without all contradiction, contradiction means this is never going to change. This is a covenant. So, without any contradiction, you're never going to have to mess with this. This is a covenant. That the less is blessed of the better. Wow, that sounds great. What does that mean? The less. Is Jesus, when Jesus came, he was blessed. We were less. The less, us, was blessed by the better. You guys understand that? He says, and without contradiction, can't argue about this. This is the contract. That you and I are going to be blessed by the better. Because of covenant. This is part of you and I understanding that those who understand, who are better in the faith, stronger in the faith, I want to say better, who understand the faith more, we're supposed to be administering seed, correct? We're supposed to be training other people. Jesus came to show us, to train us how to walk by faith and live by faith. So he was the better, and he blessed us who were the less. You and I are supposed to do the exact same thing. We are to bless those who come after us by administering seed through the word, by actions, in everything that we do, because we are partakers of the same heavenly calling as Jesus Christ, who is in the order of Melchizedek. Is everyone with me on this? Melchizedek's orders was to bless, to take that. Jesus said, now that's my job, and we're following you because Jesus said, I'm going to bless you too. Why do I want to make sure I'm blessing other people? Blessing people is also, once again, it's not just handing money out. Blessing people is protection, information. Information of what? God's word. Why? Because Jesus is coming. Isn't that a blessing to tell people that Jesus is coming? Wow, I didn't know that. That's a blessing. Let me bless you today. What? Jesus is coming. How do you know that? The signs are everywhere. Where are those signs at? They're in the Bible. You look this up. That's a blessed person who is prepared for Jesus' return. You are blessed. Here's a little sidebar on blessing. After the resurrection, Jesus came back down and stayed for about 6 weeks in his glorified body. And the word said some people didn't even recognize him who were close to him before he was at the cross. On the road to Emmaus, Luke chapter 24. Luke chapter 24. This is the back half of the portion of the story. But on the road to Emmaus, there were two disciples who didn't recognize Jesus. He died, rose again, and in the beginning of Luke chapter 24, they went to the grave and he wasn't there. It's like, where did he go? So people were talking, and here was two disciples of his walking away from that area, and they were discussing, like, I can't believe this took place. And then in verse 15, I started with verse 27, but I'm just going to give you a little background. Verse 15, it says, here Jesus was walking with the two. And it says they didn't even recognize him. They just went to the tomb. He wasn't there. They're going, oh, my goodness, I can't believe it. Jesus showed up, and he's walking with them. And he starts talking with them, and it says they didn't recognize him. What did he do for verse 15 through verse 26? He starts quoting scriptures to them. He starts talking Bible with them. He goes, oh, yeah. The Bible says he shared for 13 verses about, oh yeah, you know, this was prophesied that this was going to happen. Jesus is walking with them, telling them, oh yeah, you know what, guys? Remember, man, you guys remember that this was told by Jesus? He said this was going to happen, and then those who died, the prophets of old, they said this was going to take place, and then they even mention it. They didn't recognize it was Jesus. Verse 27 now. That's the backstory of what's happened. Now in verse 27, he said in the beginning that Moses and all the prophets, Jesus expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. I mean, just, I guess I'm more entertained by this than you are. So he's telling them scriptures about everything concerning him, and they don't recognize it's him. So they walked for, it said they walked in the afternoon. Now they draw into this village. They walked into this village where they're on their way. And he made as though he was going to have to go further. But they constrained him. Said, hey, why don't you stay with us? Abide with us, for it's evening and the day is far spent. And he went to hang or tarry with them. And as it came to pass, this is huge now. He's already spoken the word to them. He's talked to them. They don't get it to him. Verse 30. And it came to pass as he sat down at meat with them. Isn't that great? Jesus was a meat eater. He took bread and what? He blessed it. This is interesting. It's going to take place right now. This is what's going to happen. And he gave it to them. What does verse 31 said? And their eyes were what? This is huge. And when he blessed it, their eyes were opened and they knew him. And then he vanished right out of their sights. He blessed the meal. He was walking with them. There was already a blessing on them. That's what the Bible says. Those who are followers of Jesus Christ, there's a blessing on them. Their blessing in them recognized the blessing. As soon as a blessing went out, they recognized, this is Jesus putting the blessing on me. This is big to understand. What's happening right now has nothing to do with anything else. When you do something or something happens in your life and you recognize it has nothing to do with you, and all of a sudden you go, oh, this is the blessing of the Lord on my life. This was their aha moment. Because this person, they didn't recognize him. They were just talking about the word. All of a sudden I go, oh my goodness. He's walking amongst us right now. They recognize when a blessing went out from him, the blessing recognized it. The moment the blessing was released in their presence, that's what rose up. Their faith rose up and said, oh my goodness, this is Jesus. This blessing is from Jesus. And it's not because he took a hat and a mask off. He didn't go, surprise, it was me the whole time. A blessing came forth. He spoke a blessing over the life, and they recognized that their life was blessed, and it recognized inside their spirit, and they instantly, and then the word said, then he disappeared. Why? He didn't want to mess up their faith. What do you mean, mess up their faith? He appeared to them just how Jesus appears to you and I. He gives us that promise, and then he doesn't stay there. Why? He just built our faith up, then he goes away. Do you understand this? If he would just stayed with them, it's like, oh, whew, okay, now you're back. Right? But the same thing. Now he's flesh again, and now only 12, 14, 15 people can walk around with Jesus at one time. See, they go, oh, Jesus is back. Oh, okay, I don't have nothing to worry about now. I don't have to live by faith. Why? As long as I see Jesus. So he goes, I don't want to mess up your faith. I want to show you, I rose again. Here's the promise of the passage, right, of God's word. Here's the promise fulfilled. Bam, I'm not going to mess up your faith because you saw me. I want you to believe in me. Now all things are possible. Bam. If he would have hung out with them, it's a false sense of security. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because if we stay somewhere where God has blessed us one time, if we stay there forever, this is why churches die. Oh, God blessed us back in 1982, so let's just stay like it was in 1982 because that must be the blessing. That's not the blessing. God says, if you keep seeking me, that's where the blessing will be at. The church has to change. The church evolves as how it reaches people, how it seeks him, because this is where he says, he goes, if you want me just to stay here, you're going to get used to this. He says, I'm going to go away so you can live by faith because I send the promised Holy Spirit. Jesus didn't leave us hanging. He sends the promised Holy Spirit so we can all keep walking by faith. It's not just a few lucky ones who get to walk with him and talk with him in the flesh. We all live by faith. That's why he had to go away. He says, it's so important to understand. He did show up. He wanted to show to them, hey, the promise is true. I rose again. Bam, got to go. Don't want to mess your faith up. Because if I just hang with you, you'll depend upon the flesh. You'll depend on the flesh. He wants us to depend on the Spirit, the supernatural. When he gave them the word, he blessed them and disappeared. So they could believe the things that they did not see and keep it going. I saw it. Now, I will remember that the miracle took place and I keep going. Hebrews 7:7. Now, without all contradiction, it's a covenant, can't be broken. The less is blessed of the better. And here, where's here? On earth. And here on earth, where you and I are right now, men that die as pastors and ministers of the gospel receive tithes. But there he, Jesus, after the order of Melchizedek, he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. So he's understanding this is how it works. Melchizedek, he started, he showed, this is where he brought it to him. Abram brought the tithes. It says here now on earth, people who pass away, the pastors, they receive the tithe unto the Lord. But it's Jesus, it's unto him that they're receiving it for him in the order of Melchizedek. You guys see this? You're following me on this? This is word. Tithing is huge. It's not that you have to tithe, it's that you get to tithe. It's not a pay. I don't have to pay it. I give it. Putting your check in the offering isn't tithing. It's meeting with your forever Melchizedek. It's meeting and saying, blessed now are you, grant. Every time you tithe, every time you give unto the Lord, there is an expectation. It's a great feeling. I don't give to get, but there's an expectation the blessing of the Lord is going to be all over me. It's the most exciting thing you could ever do. It's exciting. It's so exciting because it represents something about you in the tithe. The blessing goes back all the way to Genesis. It's the first fruits. Can you imagine if you were Adam on that tree? I was thinking about this a couple weeks ago as I was writing this. Here's your first fruit, Lords. Here comes God just walking in the garden. He goes, Grant, I want the first of your fruits. I want the first fruits. We're literally pulling that fruit off, because back then they didn't have money. They pulled off the fruit. You can't wait till God passes by. Here you are, God. Here it is. Here it is. This is for you. It's his garden. I picked it for you, and here you go. Why? Because you commanded me to do this, because all of this is mine. I look around, this is all mine, and all you said is to pick this and give it to you. This is huge. So blessed be Grant and Kelly Williams because you gave unto me. This is huge for your household to understand the relationship of the blessing of God. He protects us. We walk in faith and all this stuff. It's not limited to a tithe. It's limited. It's limitless how to walk in the blessing of God. But blessed are you, Grant and Kelly Williams, possessor of heaven and earth. The same thing he said to Abram. It's exactly why. How do I know he said? Because he says, I'm joint heirs now with Jesus Christ, who's in the same line of Abram, who's walked in the same line of Melchizedek. Is everyone with me now? The same thing that was said to Abram is the same thing being said to me. I love when people ask tithing questions. Oh, because I'm a pastor and I just sit there on Sunday nights and I just throw the money up in the air. I said, I can't believe all this is mine. That's not true at all. People ask me, I don't want to shortchange God. How am I supposed to give? That's an incredible question. From gross to net, is it enough to tithe? Should I give offering? Should I give to missions? These are questions like, I can't outgive God. Why? Because if he can get it through me, he'll keep giving it to me. This isn't limited to money. This week, what we're talking about is the tithe. But for the last 6 weeks, we've been talking about time, talent, and treasure. It's everything that we have. I trust him with my time. He blesses me. I trust him wherever I go. He blesses me. I trust him with whatever job he wants me to direct. Why? Because I'm going to bring the blessing there. So I trust him there to protect me and my provision. So now I trust him because there's a blessing coming when I tithe. Because God wants us all in the place where we can say, when God blesses me with something, I can't wait to share it with someone else. Well, what are you talking about? I'm tithing to the church. No, the church multiplies it for the kingdom purposes. We can do more together than we can by ourselves. Have you ever been excited about giving something to someone? You just can't wait. It's like, oh man, I hope they like it as much as I like. I mean, you think about it, it's like, oh man, you know it's what they want. And you just can't wait to give it to them. You saw something that you really liked, and you go, boy, I really like that, but I really want to give them something. So you go without something that you wanted because you want to bless somebody else. Bless someone else. What does bless mean? It doesn't mean that they have to have it or they have to need it, but blessing means, remember what we talked about in the very beginning, first, second, 3 weeks, to bless someone is to take care, to provide ample, more than enough. To pour out in favor, to bless, is to favor someone. I remember we've had the luxury of, there was a pastor, when I first got in the ministry, 2002, we were on staff at a large church, and there was a pastor who had been there for a long time, an associate pastor, his music pastor, and his daughter was going through some medical issues, and they were in their 20s, and their house had just become an ill repair. The outside needed painting and power washed, and back down in Florida, Fort Myers, Naples area, this mildew gets on the tile of these houses. It's this green gunk, and it's bad. And the house that needed landscaping, and the pool was green. There's probably depression going on, and just kind of lost care. So I didn't say anything to the church. I didn't say anything. My kids were 9 and 6 at the time. So Kelly and I and the kids, we went over there, and my background, and just not building, not that you have to have a background in building to paint someone's house and clean it. I came over to meet at his house. I didn't want to do it publicly, and I just said, my family and I would like to, we're going to power wash your roof, your house. I'm going to fix all your shutters. I want to paint it and landscape your house. He just blankly stared at me. He says, why? I said, because I want to bless you. And he looked at me and goes, why? I said, because other people have blessed me, and I know what it feels like. I was more excited, I think, than he was. He was stunned. But that's what the blessing of God does. It stuns us. There's a passage that says it overtakes us, and we don't even know. It's like, what? Why would you do this? He was so welled up. He was 58 years old at the time. He goes, no one's ever done this before. He goes, don't worry about it. My kids are out there, you know, just, they love the power washing, and they're doing all this stuff, and somebody came by from the church, was driving by, they were cutting through the subdivision, he saw me, and Kevin stopped by, and goes, what's going on here? I said, I didn't really want to know, and I said, the house is bad. He goes, I know, I drive by it, and this is getting bad. And I said, Kevin, what is it that you do? I saw his truck. He says, I'm a landscaper. I said, really? I said, how would you like to help me bless him and help do the landscaping? He goes, consider it done. So the next day he came there with about 14 guys and ripped out all the old landscaping and put everything in better than I could even think of. He knew the area and what was indigenous to that area. And we were standing around. I remember that later on that night, and we're all kind of tired and worked out, and just dead. It's 90-something degrees, and you know, it's one of those transformations in your house, you know, just like, because during the day, we painted the back of the house intentionally first because we wanted him to be gone when we painted the front, you know, and the landscaping was done and the paint. They came in the driveway. We couldn't wait for them to come in the driveway. Not so we could go, oh, look how great we are, but we wanted to bless him because we knew how difficult life had been. To see them pull up in the car and see a 58 and a 57-year-old mom and dad of these two girls, one was in and out of the hospital, and just to see just tears just pour down their face. We're like all crying, you know, it's like we're all hugging, and we were really stinky and sweaty. I said, you don't have to hug us. And he goes, no, no, we really want to hug you later. He said he wished he wouldn't have. But we were hugging, and he goes, I see it, but I can't believe that this is done. See, what that's called is, that's tithing in the fast lane. See, when you get to the place where you don't even have to think about it anymore, it's like, you know what? God, what do you want me to do? I mean, this is literally, it's like, it's just one day. He's having a difficult time in his life, okay? You know what his house looks like. Get over there and paint it. Okay? And power wash it, do everything. It was like, all right. So I just told Kelly, this is what we're going to go do. She goes, okay. I mean, thank God for a wife who will just say, hey, if God's telling you to do it, let's just go do it. And the kids are out there. The kids of this day will tell you. That pastor this day, when I'll see him, he goes, we were down there on vacation in March. He goes, I'll never forget that. Because see, the blessing is not limited to me. The blessing keeps going through me to other people. Because I'm blessed, that blessing of Abraham is not there. It's through all the heirs, and now I keep blessing other people. I've been blessed in ministry. A couple of years ago, someone said, the husband and wife came up to me, and husband lost his job, and they took a car back. He was out of work for six months. He had to get a job, but he needed a car. So he got the job, and they were going back and forth sharing one car. And I was like, man, okay, what can I do? What can I do? What can I do? This guy walks into me. One of the deacons of the church comes up. He goes, wow, if you know anybody who needs a car, he goes, it's my boss at work. He's selling a really nice car. It's 58,000 miles on it. It's like 8 years old, but he's selling it for $1,200. And I go, okay. And I start smiling. He goes, what? And I said, about a week ago, in our offering for benevolence, I go, $1,250 came in. And he goes, what do you think that was for? I go, I think it was for the $1,200 car. And I said, and the $50 is for a tank of gas. We went immediately to his work, bought the car, called up the guy and the husband and wife from our church, came over, put a big bow on the car, and go, here you go, drive to work tomorrow. They just stared at us. They go, what happened? We bless you. No strings attached. God wants you to work. God does. But we're getting by with just, we're trading cars off, and I know it's a hassle, but it's like, I know, it's above and beyond what you thought of, what you need, but there's favor in the blessing of the Lord. When you give money, even though you don't have it, when you sow into people, it is incredible what takes place. But that's the same thing when you give tithe unto the Lord. That blessing keeps on going. It doesn't stop. And that's also, though, when it's hard, is when people pay a tithe. If you pay a tithe, that thinking is based upon toiling. When you understand it's God's and you're just giving what's his right back, you give it without toiling. Toiling, remember, it comes with anxiousness and fear. So you pay when you pay tithes, that comes with fear and anxiety. You're saying, can I afford to do this? No, you can't afford not to, because that's where the blessing kicks in. I'm giving in faith. I'm not paying by faith. I'm giving in faith. Don't look at it, because we're partakers with Jesus after the order of Melchizedek. One day your kids, your friends, your family, whatever it is, and I often think about this, is when you have Anybody in your life that maybe you've been had the honor to bless. And you see them, and for me, I think of Zach and Paige now with college and different things that we've kind of blessed them. And I think they, as people get older, they understand blessing a lot more. When they're two, they don't understand the blessing. They cry until they get it. When they're 17, 18, they come a little more humbly to the parent and say, they understand something, it costs something. Can I have some of that which you have earned or what is rightfully yours? Can I have some of that? Can I have that blessing? But when your kids, when they see you and they look, when we get to heaven, it'll be like a Hebrews 11. For missionaries that you've helped out, to other people that you've when you tithe to the church, there's an administration that goes on to disperse. But even with your own friends and family that you have helped, they're going to see you blessed now. Look, there's mom, there's dad. They were faithful to the house of the Lord. They were faithful with the reading of the word. They were faithful in their tithes. They were faithful. And I saw the blessing on their lives. I saw that blessing come to me because they didn't want to hold the blessing to themselves, and they blessed me as well. See, we can look at people, Abraham, for Job and Noah. They fought battles. They had scars. They were tested, but they were still able to give. My mother-in-law and father-in-law, they were faithful, not just to the house of God in giving, but their whole family, they dispersed a blessing to them, not just with their funds, but with their time, talent, and treasure, everything that they had. My mother and father were the same way. And as a result of that, we can choose to be like them. Remember, just like Isaac? Now, the same oath that I swore unto your father that I would give, that I would bless you, all you have to do is be obedient just like he was to the word. So you see parents, you see other people in your life, how they bless, and you can choose to be like that, walk in that same blessing, or you can choose to walk in fear and toil for a life and say, but I may not get it again, so I better hold on to that. And that's where God says, I need to stop giving it to you because you won't give it away. Time, talent, and treasure. Remember, the blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow to it. It's walking in that blessing. The blessing maketh rich. Psalm 73, we started week one, week two. Psalm 73, it says, the ungodly in the world who are after riches. Riches in the Hebrew is different than that. It says money only. It's the ungodly in the world who go after riches trying to bless themselves. Now, what we learned, as I want to remind you, is last couple weeks about the blessing of Abraham was activated by his faith. There was an activation of faith. The blessing of Abraham is still activated by faith. So know ye therefore, this is Galatians 3, that you are which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel, I love that, unto Abraham. Wouldn't you pay attention if God was preaching to you? And he was preaching, saying, in these shall all nations, for those who follow you, shall be blessed. So then they that which be of faith are blessed with faithful Abraham. Everyone who comes after you, who's obedient unto my word, the same blessing that's on you will be on everybody else. That's huge. I want to know that blessing. I want to know how to walk in that blessing. The Bible says it wasn't limited to all the gold and riches and silver that he had. It says Abram was blessed in all areas of his life. Remember, riches doesn't mean money when it talks about God's riches. It means rich in all areas of your life. Abundance in health, in friendships, and not 100%, and I want to be the healthiest and richest person I can be. It's enough for the plan that he has for your life. He will make you rich in all areas of your life for the plan that he has for you. Because he wasn't rich before he started walking in the blessing. Matter of fact, he was a moon worshiper. Bible says so in the city of Ur. It's not that he was already wealthy and rich in all areas of his life before he came to the Lord. He wasn't. I want to pick up Galatians 3 again. Verse 13, Christ hath redeemed us, you and I, the ones who are unbelievers, the ones who were born into the sinful world, from the curse of the law being made a curse for us. We no longer have to toil. We don't have to be worried about how it's going to happen for us. For it is written, curses everyone that hangeth on the tree. The little punctuation that you see, that colon, always means so in the King James. So that the blessing. So he came and was made a curse for us. Remember, cursed was the ground that Adam, because of the sin, now by the sweat of your brow, you'll have to toil. You'll be anxious. You'll have to worry. You'll be fearful of every single thing and how you can provide for yourself. But he, Jesus, became a curse for us so that, there's a reason why he did it, so that the blessing of Abraham might come upon all of us. Jesus had to be made a curse. Jesus took it. He took the sin. He took every single thing away. He said, if you want to follow me, I'll take your sins away. So you now don't have to worry about how you're going to make it, how you're going to do it. All you have to concern yourself with is the plan that I have for your life. What's the plan? Follow the word. Follow the word. Well, but what if he tells me to be a painter? Follow the word. Well, but what if he tells me to do this? Follow the word. Follow the word. If I'm a painter, I still have to follow the word. If I'm an accountant, I still have to follow the word. It doesn't matter what job you have, you follow the word. The plan he has for you is in the word. So does God ever change? No, God never changes. We just read that. The blessing of Abraham might come on all the rest of us through Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, verse 28. So there's a blessing that people, same blessing on Abraham. That blessing, it's not just for the Jew. That's what we talked about last week. He's talking about Shem, the line of Shem, or the Semite. That word Semite is in the root of Shem. You guys remember that? Shem, Japheth, and Ham. The other two, they did what was bad. Shem walked in. He says, nor Greek, that means all the rest of us. There's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for you are all now one in Christ Jesus. So this blessing is not just for the Jewish people, it is for every single person now who wants to follow after Christ, who wants to be obedient on his word. The blessing, you can walk in this blessing. Luke 4:18, it says, for those who are in one with Christ Jesus, right? That's the end of Galatians. Luke 4:18, Jesus said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. So what did he preach to the poor? He preached, you're blessed. He preached, you're blessed. He said, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, he adds no sorrow to it. If you're poor in any aspect of your life, meaning without enough to do God's plan, he came to bless you. Everyone with me on this? He came to bless those who are poor. Poor means not enough, lacking. Amen? Lacking. If any of you lacking anything in your life, if you're lacking in anything, I've come to bless you. Bless you are now those who are lacking. Why? The blessing gives you abundance and more enough to do that which you've called to do. Because the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, anointing me to preach the gospel to the poor who are brokenhearted. If you're poor, if you've got a broken heart, it says you're poor. You're missing something. Your heart is not whole. You need healing to preach deliverance to the poor who are captive, who are covering from sight to the blind, to set at liberty that are bruised. He says, I've came to give you life and give you more abundantly. Because if you're lacking in everything, that's I've come to give you that which you're lacking in and to preach in verse 19, the acceptable year of the Lord. Supernatural debt cancellation. Things that we have become enslaved to. Things that we have not the ability to repay or take care of ourselves. I want to skip ahead for time's sake. I want to show you something. You can read this, like I said, it's detailed on here. But I want to talk about something about the sheep and the goats. Matthew 25. Page 12 of your notes. Because included in this blessing that we have is salvation, is healing, it's prospering and everything, family, peace, rest. We've gone over that for the last 6 weeks. But I want to show you something in chapter 25 of Matthew. Jesus said, it says, before him shall be gathered all nations. He shall separate them one from another as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. He shall set the sheep on his right hand, but the goats on the left. Verse 34, then shall the king say unto his on his right hand, come, what? You who are blessed. If you're walking with Christ, you are blessed. It says at the end of time, those who are on the right, who are walking with my Father, he says, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom that is prepared for you. We talk about the separation of the sheep and the goats all the time. People say, oh, it's the sheep and the goats, sheep and the goats. I joke with Cindy Trent, who leads our little lambs. It's a daycare here during the day, Monday through Friday. And often I'll walk past, and she's walking them or marching them down the hallway. And at that age, they're all kind of funny. You know, some have the bedhead hair sticking up everywhere, and some are a little cranky, some aren't. And I always tell her, I go, hey, come on, which one are the goats? What's are the sheep? Let me just give you. And I said, I'm going to pray over the goats for you right now. And the kids are going, bah! They have no idea that I'm talking scripture right now. And I point the goats out to her every single day, and she enjoys that immensely. But this is important, and I, once again, for time's sake, it's not that this other stuff isn't, but there are certain things I want to highlight to you, and I want you then to move forward as well to page 15. I'm going to do two passages, and then we're going to close. It's important to understand the blessing of God. It's important to understand the order of what had happened from Genesis, from Adam, then what happened had to happen with Melchizedek, then what had to happen as Jesus took it a step further and became that blood and that bread for us, and his body that was broken, and how we too come into him by giving us everything he has. But there's a passage when we take communion that many pastors read that Paul wrote to the church in 1 Corinthians. It says, in the same way, when Jesus took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant contract. This is the bread and the wine now. He's foreshadowing when he goes away, this is what's going to take place. Do this often as you drink it in remembrance of me. In remembrance of what? That Jesus was made a curse for us. Curse is the one who sits on the tree. Why? So that the blessing of Abraham may come upon you. The blessing is because of a covenant contract that we have with God to be obedient unto him. Because as often as you eat of this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Whoever therefore eats the bread or drinks the cup or is a partaker of the heavenly calling, Hebrews, right? Whoever's a partaker of this, of the Lord, in an unworthy manner will be answerable for the body and the blood of the Lord. Examine yourselves and only then eat of the bread and drink of this cup. Before I go back, I'm remembering this contract as I gave my heart to Jesus Christ. I said, I will follow you. I will be obedient unto you wherever you go. So as the remembrance of communion, I'm taking that bread and the wine. What am I supposed to do? God, did I bring you everything that I have? Have I given you my time, talent, and my treasure? Am I walking in obedience to you with what I speak, how I live? Am I giving tithes of everything that I have in the fullness of what I'm supposed to be doing? And it says, before you even take that bread and the wine to show, yes, I'm abiding by that contract. This is huge. Before you take that drink representing Jesus Christ's blood in his body, that which he suffered and died for you, why did he suffer and die? To bring the blessing back. He became a curse on that tree so you and I wouldn't have to be anxious and worry about anything evermore as long as we fulfilled his plan for us, our life. And we're saying, not just in front of everybody else, but in front of him, yes, I'm abiding by the contract, by that covenant with you. He said, examine yourselves. Are you doing this, Grant? Are you living up to your end that you said you would? Because anyone who eats and drinks, in verse 29, without discerning the body, eat and drink judgment against themselves. We're saying, I'm still in contract with you. and I'm not doing my part. And he said, you just signed something that you're not doing. Judgment against yourself. For this reason, many of you are weak and ill, and some have died. Wow. Wow. Why? Because the blessing's gone. The blessing wall is gone. The blessing's there for protection. I'm in covenant with God. There's a blessing wall. I'm in blessing contract. And he says, because you're not in contract and covenant with me anymore, he said, the blessing wall's up. And because when the blessing's gone, things start to happen. But if we judge ourselves, we would not be judged. If we would examine ourselves, God says, I wouldn't have to get after you. You would ask for forgiveness and you would set yourself straight. But when we are judged by the Lord, we are disciplined so that he may not be condemned along with the world. When God spanks us, it's a whole lot worse than if we would just do it to ourselves. So the last passage, and we'll close. In Malachi, bring all your tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in mine house. There's that meat again. Prove me, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open up the windows of heaven and pour out a what? Oh, there it is again. It's not about money. It's about, are you obedient? It's his. Are you giving me what is mine? And what I'm going to do is I'm going to pour out a blessing so much there's not going to be enough room to receive it. Ooh, let's go back 3 weeks ago. There was somebody fishing in a boat, and it was Peter. All he had to do was be obedient unto God. You guys remember this? He said, throw down the net. And he threw down the net. So Peter says, you know what? I'll throw down one net. I don't really know if I trust you. So I throw down the net. And what happened to the boat? It was overfilled with fish. Just because of his obedience, all the provision of how they were supposed to eat, and everyone else saw it. And he says right here, now if you tithe, I'm going to pour out a blessing on you, and you can't even understand it. The blessing is not money. The blessing is all provision for everything. It's health. It's relationship. Everything that you need to do is plan. And I will rebuke, this is huge, I'm going to rebuke the devourer. Who's a devourer? Satan. I'm going to come up against him for your sake, and he shall not destroy the fruit of your ground. That's toil. I worked all day and nothing. This is going back to Peter now. Peter says, Lord, I fished all night and I've got nothing. The Bible even says, I toiled all night and I've got nothing. Here it says, I won't let the devourer destroy the fruit of your ground. I've worked and I've tilled the ground and I still have nothing. Neither shall your vine cast her fruit before the time in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And as a result, all nations shall be what? All nations shall call you blessed. Now, if you and I are blessed, and that blessing is not supposed to start with us, that blessing, in as we studied, says that blessing in Psalms, it says wherever we go, that blessing extends on to anybody else that we touch. So if I'm in Northville, everyone in Northville will know that I'm blessed. If I'm in Livonia, everyone shall be blessed. Why? Because the people in Livonia who I'm living with, I'm bringing the blessing to them. Why is this such a big deal? Because God has so much more for us than we can even think of or imagine.